Cinema Classics is brought to you in part by the Gateway Film Center at 1550 North High Street in the South Campus Gateway. For films and showtimes, go to gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. To listen to other shows, go to wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics, and Cinema Classics has a special screening lined up at the Gateway Film Center, John.
Yeah.
Friday, March 1st.
Yes, coming
up. Is
that
right?
Yeah.
It's the 1st. It's at 7 p.m. We are going to show Raging Bull.
Well, you know, there's a question for you on that.
Raging Bull.
Yes, I got it.
I'm going to say it again. Raging Bull. Can you even imagine what this is going to look like on the big screen?
This is going to be great, and I know because you love Robert De Niro so much in this role, I can't wait to see it again. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But my question is not just about Raging Bull, but about Robert De Niro. It's tough to separate the two.
Right.
And Martin Scorsese at the same. You got three very important things. Great film, great actor, and great director.
Right.
Robert De Niro is currently up for an Oscar.
Yeah, for Silver Linings Playbook.
For Silver Linings Playbook. Where has he been for, well, you would say 15 years.
I'd say 15 or 20 since Heat. I think since Heat or Casino, right around there, you see De Niro kind of tap out. I think what you see is, here's a guy who gave his all, his thespian all, for the better part of two decades. And I think what happened was, my theory is that, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, you had these young up-and-comers like Bruce Willis and Kevin Costner who were commanding upwards of $5 million or more to be in, just to appear in a movie. Bruce Willis made $5 million for being in Die Hard, and he wasn't even an established star at that point. Costner starts making that kind of money. Jim Carrey starts making that kind of money. And I think you just saw De Niro. He started the Tribeca Film Festival. And, you know, I think he was like, okay, that's where I'm going to put my artistic, you know, and then I'm going to cash in. I'm going to start making the money that these guys made. I mean, basically, him and Pacino were like the cinematic, you know, they were stalwarts. They were the biggest names in Hollywood. And I think they just wanted to cash in. Now, David O. Russell pulls this really great performance out of De Niro, but it's easy to forget exactly what De Niro means to movies and what he means to acting and what he's accomplished. So in Raging Bull, when this movie came out, now we've seen actors put on weight, we've seen actors lose weight.
Well, Christian Bale,
and in The Fighter. It's hard to imagine. You know, we kind of take that for granted, an actor physically transforming themselves for a part. That was De Niro's invention. When he transformed himself by putting all that weight for Raging Bull, to show you the sort of decrepit, you know, slug-like version of Jake LaMotta, he was doing something that had never been done to that extent. When Pauline Kael reviewed Raging Bull, she said, this isn't even acting. She dismissed it. She said, this is grotesque. This is not even acting. Mm-hmm. This is something beyond acting. And she didn't mean it as a compliment.
Sure.
She meant it as a criticism, that he had gone beyond what was required of him as an actor, and he was doing something animalistic, which is exactly what Jake LaMotta is as a character.
How do you compare that with Taxi Driver or Mean Streets?
I mean, Taxi Driver. He went to a very deep, disturbed psychological place, but it wasn't an Italian place. You know, he's Travis Bickle. He was this American. He's like this sort of faceless, nameless American that came back from Vietnam War, and he was damaged, and he was plugged into this city, plugged back into New York City, and all its depravity kind of fills him with rage, and Travis snaps. It's a beautiful, heartfelt performance. I'm really touched by Travis Bickle, but LaMotta, De Niro as Jake LaMotta, is going into this, you know, an Italian-American place. It's 1940s Brooklyn, or the Bronx, rather. The Bronx Bull, the Raging Bull.
Right.
And so he brings all that ethnicity to bear on his characterization. So also Jake LaMotta is stupid. He's an animal. Travis Bickle is a fiercely smart guy.
Yeah.
He's damaged, and his intelligence leads him down all kinds of weird paths, but LaMotta is a bull in a cage.
Yeah, and the difference crystallizes for me when I think of Taxi Driver, and I think of him taking Cybill Shepherd, was mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
Out on a date.
Right.
And how wonderfully off-center he was, taking her into a porn house.
Right.
Thinking
that he doesn't know.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's doing, but he thinks that's his world.
It's very poignant. Like, you know, I think the idea of Travis for me is a blank slate. When he goes, he hears a good guy who goes to Vietnam. Something happens to him, we don't know what. When he comes back, he is blank, and it's the city filling him.
And writing on him.
And so it's almost like he's a bird. So, like, when he comes back and the first thing he does is see people coming out of a movie theater, he just associates that with romance and courtship.
Right.
And so it just happened to be a porn theater.
Yes, yes.
He can't think his way out of that situation. It's a tragic performance.
So, in Raging Bull, then.
Yeah.
Where do you see him as an actor different from the actor he is today? And I realize this, obviously, aging makes a big difference. But what do you see as the difference between him then and now? Is it just that he's gone for the paycheck and he's, he's concerned about Tribeca? I mean, what happened?
I guess the difference is you see an artist hard at work in Raging Bull, somebody who is devoted to his art, and now you see basically a craftsman who's either going to give you a well-crafted performance or he's going to phone it in.
Sure. And he does a great job in Silver Lining, and it's very nuanced when he plays the father.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's slightly crazy, just the way his son is. And he does a good job of holding back when you think about Raging Bull.
Yeah.
And you think about, indeed, the title of the film is perfect for him and his own title. He's just almost out of control. And yet he's very controlled, but still out of control in Silver Linings. So the actor knows how to do it, and he knows how to change over the 30 years. He's Father Fokker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's made millions.
I hate to think of that.
I know.
But it's true, yeah. You know, and something like Raging Bull, 3, 2, De Niro took that project to Scorsese. Scorsese didn't want to make that movie. Ah. De Niro foisted it on him.
Really?
And kind of hammered away, God, we have to do this. We have to make this movie. And thankfully, Scorsese relented. And we have this great work of art. And, you know, what is pretty amazing about Raging Bull is it is a beautifully shot film. Michael Bauhaus shot that movie. And it's one of the great boxing movies of all time. You know, the opening credits scene where De Niro is in his boxing robe and he's backlit dramatically by a light. And there are the ropes of the ring behind him. And he's kind of he's like bobbing up and down in slow motion to Mascagni. This aria from Mascagni, and he looks like a note of music against those ropes, and it's so striking. Almost every image in this movie is striking in some way, and yet it's a hard movie to watch because this guy's repugnant.
It's painful.
He's a repugnant brute.
Gets beaten.
He's a wife beater, and he's just an ugly soul. And you're kind of watching this guy try to find his humanity, routing around like a pig for a scrap of his own humanity. Nothing has been done like it.
Your description, 3, 2. Your description reminds me of how we were struggling with trying to define the greatness of Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I think you just did it.
How's that?
In talking about De Niro.
Yeah.
The immersion and the full immersion that Day-Lewis does for Lincoln. And now you're reminding me that that's something that Robert De Niro did. He fully immersed himself into his role. And that's not easy to do, nor can most actors do it.
Well, sure. Before De Niro gave up, he was the greatest screen actor
that we'd had. That's true.
And because he gave up, Daniel Day-Lewis ascended to the throne. I got a funny story to tell you about Raging Bull. When my wife and I... First of all, let me tell you this. You know It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite movie, right? Well, Raging Bull, for me, and Taxi Driver go hand in hand. Like, they're 1 and 2, you know, Raging Bull. I would love to see a double feature of It's a Wonderful Life and Raging Bull because I don't think they're that dissimilar, ultimately.
Okay,
so it's a very important movie to me. When my wife and I started dating 10-some years ago, I said, you want to see a really important movie to me? And I started to show her Raging Bull. But she chatted incessantly over the first 15 minutes. I shut it down and refused to let her see it. To this day, my wife has not seen it. She's going to come see it Friday.
Oh, good.
She's going to see it the first.
Yes. Excellent.
So and it'll be an interesting.
She's a tough lady, so you know, I'm very anxious to know what she's going to think about that movie now that she doesn't talk through it.
Yeah, right. No, she's going to be surrounded by patrons, so she's unable to do that.
We've talked about Raging Bull, and of course, but I'm so much interested in Robert De Niro. Where do you see him going after this? He must be in his 60s now.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, if you would have told me some 10, 15 years ago that there would have been a time when I would have not been excited for a De Niro movie, right. I would have said you're crazy.
Yes.
You're not going to go see this De Niro movie. I would have said you're nuts.
That's right.
But we're in that time where just because De Niro is in a movie does not mean I'm going to see it. In fact, more often than not, I'll try to avoid it.
Yes.
Because a lot of them are awful, straight-to-video, you know, terrible movies. This movie, I don't know, you know, it gives the moviegoer in me hope that we're going to see him devote himself to some quality work, to salvaging his legacy.
Sure.
That's all I really want to see, John, is this guy salvage his legacy. Just crank out, I don't know, a couple of movies every few years with quality movies with great performances like this. He doesn't have to transform himself. I'm not asking him to, you know, put on another 90
Very
pounds.
Very similar to Sylvester Stallone and... Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that is funny. Did you know that 3-2? That's funny. You should mention that because did you know that I think De Niro and Stallone are attached to a project about boxers who are going to like they're coming out of retirement to fight each other.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah, the stars of the two greatest boxing movies ever made.
All right.
Could be interesting. Then again, it could be another Meet the Fockers debacle.